Today, I am excited to introduce Ted Obenauer. Ted is a member of our congregation who shared with me in the past couple of weeks just a powerful story of faith and hope. And I told him as he shared that everybody should hear this story. Well, today I'm excited that he gets to share this story and this witness with you. Join me in welcoming Ted Obenauer.
Good morning. My name is Ted Obenauer. Christy and I lived in the South Bend area for 25 years. During that time, we were members of Grace United Methodist Church. We moved to Granger. We also attended Clay United Methodist Church. Christy even taught Sunday school here, but we remained members of Grace. That was our home. In 2005, we moved to Michigan, where we had a summer home on Quarry Lake. In 2010, I took my job in Philadelphia. While in Philly, I had a very serious case of pneumonia. I was hospitalized for many weeks. My pastor in Philly gave me a book called Simply Christian, which helped me get me started back on my journey to God by placing God at the center of my life. In 2015, I retired, and then in 17, we moved back to Granger, which we felt like home. And besides that, we wanted to be near our grandchild. What grandparent doesn't want that? After attending Clay in the fall, we experienced the openness and love of this church, and we knew we had found our new church home. I want to tell you my journey since that time. A couple years ago, I discovered a real secret. That secret can apply to so many today, asking God why. That secret is, with God, we are tested, and then, if we are open, God calls us. Now my story. In 2018, my medical issues got to the point that it couldn't be ignored. We were having fun, traveling, in fact, just plain enjoying retirement. But my health problems were multiple. I saw many doctors. My diagnosis took a long time, but in the meantime, my doctors here in Cleveland prescribe medications to help me get by. Besides other ailments, I am in constant pain. Since the summer of 2000, I refused to take opioids. When I was in the Navy, I fell and broke my back. I had multiple surgeries in the 80s and 90s, and I took opioids. I took so many that I was hooked. I don't want to be like that again, and I pray constantly for other people in pain that they will not get hooked on those terrible drugs. I'm sure Christy had no idea what she was getting into with my health wishes when we got married, but Christy and her positive nature carried me through those years. I come from a fundamental Christian background, and part of that is learning Bible verses, King James Version, of course. Two of those verses, though, come to mind. I'd like to share them with you. The first is Philippians 4:11, and I'll paraphrase this one. Whatever state I'm in, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. The other verse is 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know who I believe, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Still, I'm in pain. I heard God calling me in service, yes, even in pain. My first answer to God was, God, it can't be me. I'm sick and hurting. But at that time, I was reading a book by Rachel Held Evans, and she wrote about how many times God chooses those who appeared not to be up to the challenge. Messengers like Moses with his speech impediment, Paul from a prison to start the church. I learned that God uses people with weaknesses and issues to confound the normal wisdom. In 2019, I enrolled in Stephen's Ministry. Stephen's Ministry is an international lay program that trains people for one-on-one confidential counseling for people going through things like divorce, loss of loved one, family and financial issues, and losses of job, and so much more. This is so relevant today. I think you can all see that. Stephen Ministry training is 50 hours over 16 weeks and lots of reading and studying. My condition and pain got worse during this time, and in fact, I lost the ability to walk without a cane. Some of you may know, I was also tested during that training. Our second grandchild, Isabel, she's the little one on the left with the big bow, was at University of Michigan's Children's Hospital fighting for her life. To do our part, for the 28 days, Christy and I took care of our 4-year-old granddaughter, Joya. Joya is a ball of energy. I don't know if any else knows, but about how much energy 4-year-olds have. She is go from sun up to sun down and never stops talking, never ever stops talking. But I asked God for help, and Christy supported my continued calling for Stephen ministry training. Each week, I drove back and forth between Kalamazoo and Clay for Monday night classes, and then I studied after we got Joya to bed. Getting Joya to bed was, of course, a challenge. She missed her mom and dad, and she worried about her sister. So Joya was not going to go to bed without her papa. And she slept in a blow-up mattress right next to me. She would wake up in the middle of the night, and she'd cry out, "Papa Gigi," one word, I think. And would say, I would say to Joya, "We're here, Joya," and she would just say, "Ah," and go back to sleep. Isabella's home now. She's lost 80% of her pancreas and will require major surgery soon. The surgery is likely to be quite significant, and your continued prayers and the prayers that you've made for her have been so important, and we thank you. But still, I heard God calling me more. Notice the test and then the call. The first Sunday we were back in church, Pastor Brian's message was about Bible context. It challenged me so much that I couldn't sleep. I knew far too often we just skim over the surface with the Bible as if it was a novel or a cookbook. Pastor Brian encouraged us all to dive deeper into the Word, to peel back the onion, if you will, and it's not just our minister's job. God wants us each to dig into His Word, to understand the author and who He's speaking to understand what type of scripture is, a poem, a lament, a story, etc., and what were the people facing? What else was going on around them? There's so much more to understanding the context of the scriptures before we strive to allow God's Word to speak to us in today's time. So I believe I was being called means not just showing up, but I found it requires action. I wanted to learn more. I wanted to share what I learned with others, but how? So I created a website called BibleContext.org to share what I've learned and start writing. I have over 1,000 readers, and I continue the work on the website daily. Meantime, my doctors at Cleveland Clinic concluded that my autoimmune disease that I was facing is very rare and unknown origin. Idiopathic, they call it. The disease affects entire body, skin, muscles, organs, central nervous system, and yes, even my brain. My autoimmune disease is called multiple system atrophy, or MSA for short, and it means that my autoimmune system is literally attacking and killing the nerves and nervous system in my body. MSA is like ALS, MS, IBS combined. And then in February, I received the diagnosis that I also have Lewy body dementia. Lewy body is one of 3 rapidly progressing brain diseases. There is no cure for Lewy body, and what happens is as the brain cells are killed, it leaves proteins, ergo the name Lewy body. So it looks like I took a double helping. The good news is that Christy insisted that we go to Cleveland early. That gave me time that I could use for service over the next 3 to 5 years. I know that I only have 3 to 5 or 7 years left to live. At 68, that's not that unusual. And I'm not afraid to die, but like Solomon, I long for the time when my soul returns to God. But the loss of my mental capabilities did scare me. As you can imagine, the more I learned, the more depressed I got. I was not just losing my life, but with my overall health conditions, I'm losing the plans I had for my remaining life. I like to travel, like we'd like to see our granddaughter and new grandson in New Zealand. But Stephen's ministry gave me a path forward. I recognized that I was going through the grieving process. Over the loss of what I was grieving about was the loss of the life that I thought I had. Notice how God gave me the tools to handle the next test. Stephen Ministry thought that there are five stages of acceptance. I also learned that going through it firsthand teaches you so much more. When I went through these stages, sometimes moving forward and sometimes moving back, some stages seem obvious, but I'd like to talk about two stages, anger and depression, and how this opens us up to God's will. People think anger is bad, but I found that anger is necessary. I was angry about my plans that I made and why it was so hard for me to get over not having them. But anger gives an emotion that expresses our deepest, saddest thoughts about what we've lost. The Bible calls it lamenting. But ultimately, anger leads to deep depression. Depression is like emotion that takes us down, strips away everything, and makes us vulnerable. Kind words, don't worry, things will get better in time, don't help. Acceptance, though, does. Acceptance by my wife, Christy, and my friends that my feelings were real. I knew I had a reason to be depressed, and it was okay. Kind words weren't the answer. Being there was. But it is at that stage that if you keep your heart open, that the Spirit of God will call you. Why? Because you've given up your old ideas of self. Mine was clinical, though. I was depressed, but I made room for God. Okay, this is where it gets weird. I had a dream like I've never had before, and I never since. It was so complex, I couldn't have made it up or imagined it. At the end, it left me with a song in my head that I woke up to from Steve Winwood that kept playing in my head until I realized the full lyrics. The song is called Hold On. Don't be afraid, I'll never refuse you. Playing with a broken heart, that's lame again. Don't be ashamed. Reach out and take my helping hand. It's so easy to be free. And you can see the rest is about hold on, hold on when you're falling down. Weird, right? The strange part is I don't even like the song. I even had to look up the lyrics. But I decided again that no matter what, like Paul, I would be happy in whatever state I was in. I would share my story as long as I could with people facing similar diseases, people facing the loss of loved ones or a job, or like so many people are facing challenges today. Even when I'm at my worst, I would strive to be positive. I'm definitely not where that attitude comes from, though. Those of you who know Christy know she's my shining example. She has taught me over the years that being happy is a choice. So I choose to be happy, and I choose to be positive. I believe it is the Spirit of God working through me that lifts me up each morning with a song, even though I'm in pain. And I trust God to give me the strength not only to survive, but to thrive. Remember the five stages of grief? They all focused on one thing, getting to acceptance. But there is a stage beyond acceptance. I call it moving forward. I know God doesn't just call us, He calls us into action, not just to be present, but always to do something, even if it's simple or as hard as drop your nets. God was calling me. He was calling me to a wider audience. Notice the test and then the call. So with COVID in full swing, how was I, a person with limited physical capabilities, going to reach a larger audience, an audience like me facing loss, pain, and even death? The answer is God uses all of our skills. Those that know me know I am the king of nerds. I am the techie's tech, if you will. The prior work on Bible context was just training to create a new website. But what to call it? Wandering is a symptom of people with Lewy body dementia. So I called it Wandering Light with Lewy body dementia, or wanderinglight.com for short. The other's too long. When I learned about Lewy body dementia, I realized there is very little from the person with Lewy body's point of view. How to deal with it, how to cope with it, and how to stay positive. I realized that I needed to tell my story, and telling my story could help others. So I've told my story. I told how I went through the five stages of grief, just as I'm telling you, but in much more depth. I have lots of readers and few people that want to contribute. I'm hoping for a lot more. I try to post every couple of days thoughts of encouragement, how to live positive so people like me can find their way past anger, past despair, and beyond. I hope that through my example, they also see God is at work in my life. Next, when Pastor Brian started the series on Jonah this summer, and Boyd and I enjoy the outdoor services, his message was about going outside of our congregation, like Jonah. That further reinforced my desire to share my journey even more and to learn more about God's Word and understanding and context. I dove deeper into God's Word, and the more I did, the more desire I had to learn more. So when the disciple class was announced, I immediately signed up of the class, and I challenge each of you to listen to Jesus' commission. Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. One of the first things I noticed in disciple training is God testing man and his chosen people, Israel. He wanted to see if when they are being tested, they would turn to him. I knew God was calling me to do more, to serve, so I looked into getting my Master's of Divinity degree. Whoops, I don't have that long. But I wanted to serve more in a way that I think God was calling me. I contacted Pastor Brian, I told him my story, and we discussed the things that I could do with my limited time. The first opportunity, a bit short, is this: to sit here and tell you my story. If you are in despair, being tested, allow your heart to be open to the Spirit of God to hear God calling you. Now you have it. My last pages of my life are not written. For once in my life, I don't have a plan. I'm open, and I'm giving it all up to God, letting the Spirit of God show me his way. Whatever God's plans hold for me, I will follow Jesus and my God, the great I am, as long as I'm able. This is my story. Isn't it funny how, without even knowing it, God prepares us for what he needs us to do? I leave you with the thought secret that I gave you in the beginning. With God, we are tested, and then, if we are open, God is calling us. I know things may be hard. We all want things to go back to the way they were, but look for the test and be open to God calling. God is waiting on you.